morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now by phone, we have Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Yeah, great to have you. Let's just start with this because it was in the news yesterday, and I confess it caught me by surprise, the assessment by FHP. We had a fire truck with lights on and sirens going run into a car, and I guess they're finding fault for the fire truck driver. I always thought, maybe stupidly, but I always thought that if you had your lights on, your sirens going, and you hit something, that it was always their fault. It's kind of an odd situation. Do you know much about this?
I know they found our driver at fault. As you're running in an emergency status with lights going, sirens going, and you come to the internet to an intersection, it is your responsibility to make sure that the intersection is clear. You kind of slow up a little bit, make sure everybody sees you, hears you before you proceed. And I think in this situation, the driver came out of the side road. If you're at W in Cervantes and going south and you cross Cervantes, immediately there's a side road that comes out. And I don't know if the driver didn't hear or see, or if the driver of the car didn't hear or see the fire truck. The person driving the fire truck, he's looking at the intersection, and he probably didn't quite see this car that's just beyond the intersection pull out. But, it's one of those things, we train our drivers to be as cautious as they can, to be as safe as they possibly can when they're operating those trucks. And so we'll look into it a little bit more and a little bit more investigation, and that's exactly what happened and how it happened.
Okay, yeah, and again, I just, like I said, I just always assume that if a fire truck or a cop car ran into me, it would be my fault if they've got sirens and lights on, regardless of the circumstance, but... I guess that is not exactly the case. A couple of things on the meeting agenda for today, which is no agenda review this morning, but you've got a regular meeting tonight. One of them is, it's sort of a minor item, but I thought it was interesting. You're going to talk about the chairmanship designation. If I'm not mistaken, the next due up in the rotational order would be 2, which is incoming Mike Kohler. I'm guessing that, there's talk about him as his first year not wanting to be maybe the chairman, or maybe think it'd be better to defer for a year. Is that kind of where this is likely to go?
Yeah, that'll be the discussion. Commissioner-elect Kohler has made a wise decision, I think, to kind of not be the chairman his first year, even though it would be his rotation, but to kind of, come on board, get his feet under him there in his first year, kind of learn all the processes and all of those things, and then come in the second year and rotate into the chairmanship. I think it's a wise choice on his part to make that decision. And we'll see where the discussion goes and how it turns out. But you're exactly right. That's what it's about.
Okay. So that would, I thought I remember Lumen May making a comment about this in one of the meetings. Would he be the chairman most likely if they swap places? Do I have that rotation right?
Yeah, you do. Absolutely.
Okay, very good. And I think Commissioner Bender did that too when he came in, right? There was a I remember that there was shuffle, but I don't always remember how the shuffle went. Was that right when he started 2 years ago or 4 years ago?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. He was in the same situation as Commissioner-elect Kohler. He would have rotated in, and he made the same decision. I think it's a good decision, honestly, a smart decision. Let me step back this first year. Let me learn the ropes a little bit. Let me get familiar and get my feet under me, and then I'm happy to rotate in.
No, I actually fully agree. I think it's a lot to run the meeting. I think you got to, understanding your rules of order and processes and what you're responsible for. And yeah, I totally agree with you. You see city council members all the time. Their first year, they're figuring everything out. You don't want them to be the chairman of the president of the city council. One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, it's on the agenda for today. You're going to have a conversation about change to the transportation policy for the county for Baker Act patients. This is something that by law you're required to have, how you get intakes from the intake wherever they are to where they actually need to be handled. And especially like Lakeview doesn't do this anymore, and Florida West is not going to do this anymore. What is the new policy, and kind of maybe where are we at on getting this problem resolved?
Yeah, this amendment it actually reflects that change that we're not going to Lakeview. we're not going to West Florida. You know, we're the certain age groups and such are going to Baptist Behavioral Health. So that is all we are, is updating our transportation plan to reflect that change here in the community, and then we'll file that with the state, and so that we'll be accurate in how we transport and do things. So that's really what it is.
All right, so this is bringing the county in compliance with the legal requirements, which is good, of course, always to have that, and based on the changing circumstances on the ground. Do you have any update for us on the plan to try to find a longer-term solution to the problem of inadequate Baker Act intake capability?
Well, I was at the mental health meeting, task force meeting last Friday, I believe it was, and I know there's a movement and some action being taken by Allison Hill with Lakeview and Representative Salzman, and I know they're putting a plan together, and I know they're going to be approaching Scambia and Santa Rosa for, you know, maybe some participation with that plan. I do not know what that plan fully looks like yet, and we've not been formally presented with an ask just yet. So we are waiting. I do know there's something in the works, and I know they're trying to fast track it as quick as they can. So in the upcoming weeks, I would surmise that we would hear a little bit more about that.
All right, very good. As you well know, the big unfortunate story in the last week or two has been the shooting that took place last weekend at the Bellevue Park during the football game. Pardon me for not knowing this, but Bellevue Park is county owned, I assume. Is that right?
It is. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
So certainly this is a park over which you guys have some authority. What, to that end, what is the county doing, what's being talked about with the teams, the league, any of that kind of stuff in terms of improving safety? I'm hearing all kinds of things. I heard Mayor Lindsay in the city council meeting the other day in Milton talking about, you know, metal detectors and controlled access and, you know, that kind of stuff. Is the county doing anything with regards to this right now?
Well, you know, let me take just a little bit of a step back. I got the call right after it happened Saturday afternoon, and Michael Rose, my parks director, called, and at first I you know, he said there's been a shooting, and I said what did you just say? He goes, there's been a shooting. And so, you know, I jump in the truck and you run up there and you try to get involved, and of course it's chaotic and it's a lot of things. And you saw the press conference with Sheriff Simmons that he did on Monday,
which you were at. You were part of that.
Yeah,
right?
Which I was. Yeah, I was. And we stayed after that and we strategized quite a bit. And so, you know, there will be more security. When I say more security, I mean more deputies there at these events leading up into the final weeks of the season. And you're right, we've talked about everything. We've talked about metal detectors. We've talked about wanding people and patrols in the parking lot. And all of those are ideas that have some merit on some level. My biggest thing is, I think, you know, we need bodies there. We need armed deputies there, maybe at the gate, maybe some, you know, making patrols through the parking lot. And then just around the area, we've talked about drones. We've talked about putting up cameras just for evidence collection more than anything. Mm-hmm. But I think our initial efforts are going to be bodies and armed security there. You know, the wanding of folks, the people that are going to be doing the wanding, they really don't have any authority. So, and then you have those with concealed carry permits that would be allowed. Mm-hmm. And so that poses a little bit of a challenge, especially, you know, coming right off an event, right into the next weekend. That would take a little more thought and a little more training and a little more assessment. So we're looking at armed deputies being there, off-duty deputies being there. And also just making people aware if you see something, you know, make a call. You know, don't just say, oh, it's probably nothing.
Yeah.
But it's the lifestyle that's going on right now in some portion of our community, and it's kind of sad because they don't put any value on human life. I mean, none. And it's just like another day. And to bring that into a ballpark where you have lots of children trying to play sports, and that's very important. And to put so many people at danger, it's just ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, and No, go ahead.
No, I said there's just a certain portion, a small, very minute portion of our community that just the lifestyle they live, you know, when it's either go to prison or they go to the cemetery, and their kids that they leave behind, unfortunately, tend to grow up in that same pattern. Yeah, you know, it's hard to break out of that cycle. It's kind of sad. It really is.
No, it absolutely is. And you make a great point about, you know, people who have coming off an event like this, they're more likely to want to legally conceal carry to the game just out of self-defense in case something goes wrong. And do you then prevent that? And can you secure their safety? I mean, you're right. Those are all, you know, appropriate concerns. Wes, you know, you got a lot of stuff on the agenda tonight. You talk about Living Shoreline. I can talk about broadband. You're going to talk about the Beulah Master Plan. A big meeting, so we're looking forward to it tonight. And as always, Wes Moreno, County Administrator for Escambia County. Thanks so much for the time, sir. I really appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. Thank you. Have a good day. You bet.